We've done a lot of missions work over the years, and we've built relationships with people from various places. If you attend street-level meetings on Monday nights, you'll begin to meet some of those people because we do Skype calls with them and give an opportunity to get to know who they are and for us to know, for them to get to know who we are. And so it's kind of a neat tie. But through the years, we've done trips to India. We've been to Africa. We've been to the Philippines. Philippines is probably one of the most primary places we work. India is second to that. And so, but in that process and through those relationships, we've met people like Arjuna from Vishakhapatnam. How would you say it? Okay. There's a shortened version. I never remember what it is. But so that's where he's from. He has an extensive ministry over there and a great, last time he was here a couple of years ago, we had him come and he shared his life story. And so it was just a real cool thing to get the opportunity again to have him back. And if you saw the posters, the title on the posters referenced seeing the faces of people beyond our borders. And I want to just mention something about that I think is very important, is that we grow up in American culture, and there's an assumption, a low-level assumption in our minds that the world operates like we do and that people around the world act like we do. And so one of the things that happens in that is we close off ourselves to understanding how the rest of the world operates. And it's really interesting to see that after traveling some, that the majority of the world operates quite differently from the United States. And so there's this tunnel vision that Stout students, I think American students, get, and it's the American dream pathway. Graduate from high school, go to college, graduate from college, get a job, have a family. You know, next thing you know, you're living in a suburb somewhere, and, you know, the rest is history. And so one of the things we try to do in street level is try to show different avenues that are available for you to explore. And one of those things being that you don't have to live your life like that. And certainly we believe that God can call people to live in that pathway, but oftentimes when that happens, there's a complete disregard of the world around us. And so sometimes it's hard for us to get our hands around the idea that if we're born in America and we have sort of the blessing that comes along with living in the country that we do, sometimes we take that as, you know, just a good thing for us, rather than realizing that it's a possibility of responsibility that we can carry into the rest of the world. And so, you know, and certainly saying something like that may sound a little bit like that we have all the answers and that we have all of these great things that everyone else doesn't, and it's certainly not the case. I have to tell you that in my traveling experiences, I've been in the Philippines 9 times, I've been to India 5 or 6 times, and Africa once, and I get far more for my life from traveling to those countries and meeting the people there than I ever bring to the country. But it's just the blessing of the understanding of merging the cultures and getting to know each other and realizing that people from the other side of the world, though they have a different culture, they're still people. And so so we have asked Arjuna to come and speak to us tonight, just kind of in that idea. And so he's put something together. But I'd like to start out before we before we have him come up, he has given us a video kind of just explaining his ministry, so we'd like to play that.
Hi, this is Arjuna Chigaluri. I got saved in 1976 after reading the Bible. I was a Hindu born and raised, and slept one night as a Hindu boy, got up next morning and looked through the window and saw a bunch of people, and God said I need to share the gospel to them. And I have a passion to preach the gospel since then. And that is the beginning of the vision of Vision Nationals in a way. And it is all just an act of God's pure grace. In 1992, we as a family planted one church in Vishakhapatnam, India. And the church grew and began to multiply after a few years. And we began the need to train people. So we started a Master's College of Theology to train young men and women. And we thank God for providing the resources, people, and the finances. And also we felt the need for training our church planters who did not have a Bible training. And we have planted over 500 churches now. And our Bible college has been accredited now. And we have gone to the master's level. As Vision Nationals grew, people begin to talk and bring the needs for educating and giving a life to orphans and poor children. That gave birth to Master's Home for Children in 1999. As we began the children's home, we also felt the need to start a school, Master's School. Since then, both our children from the children's home, we have received a great education from our school, and also we begin to attract the people from the local neighborhoods of the poorer community, and we begin to educate them. We were able to send them out to colleges, so they came out with engineering degrees, nursing degrees, and some are in the medical program right now from our children's home. God opened our eyes to see the needs of widows around our area, and God had helped us to start a ministry among widows called Ashraya, which means refuge, and where we begin to care for widows who are not cared by anybody, and we give them monetary help every month, and also take care of their medical needs. They've gone through surgeries, and they're living, and this is another aspect of the gospel that we do. The goal of Vision Nationals is to make disciples through planting churches, training nationals, and also caring for orphans and widows. We continue to love India and Asia, and we want to see many people turn to Christ and also being disciples. We cannot thank you enough for your prayers and financial support. Thank you. Okay, now I'm on. Now I know why you didn't respond when I said good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, that's much better. Okay. Tom said that I'll be speaking, or at least a little bit sharing on a little topic called Seeing People Beyond Our Borders, which I think it's a call to the rest of the humanity, a call or a responsibility to the rest of humanity. What do you mean seeing people beyond our borders? Do I need to see other than myself, other than my family? As Tom already had said, the dream of every American is to go to school, to go to college, and get a good job, make millions of dollars, at least a million, then raise your kids, and then retire, get a nice home over the river. That's the kind of dream that a lot of people have it. So, sometime back, I read a story which I wasn't planning to tell, actually. I hope I remember as I share. Otherwise, I'll make up something. sometime back, there was a New York businessman who went to a little fishing town in Mexico. And the story really I thought about many times. And this guy went to a fisherman and said, how much fish you got? Okay, this much fish. It's about 3 o'clock. What are you going to do now? Well, I'm going to go home, take my kids, play on the beach with my kids, and then go home, and then spend some time with the family, and go to the clubhouse, and then my friends will be there. I'll play guitar. We all play guitar, sing songs. Happy about it. Where do you live? I live in right here on the beach, me and my family. And the New Yorker said, I have a plan for you. Why don't you work only 5 or 6 hours? Why don't you work long hours? So that very soon, you can buy a big fishing boat. And then slowly start a company. You start buying fish from other people. Then start export to the United States. Start a company. And then you can come to the United States and sell all the fish. You make much money. And then one day you have a lot of money, millions of dollars. And then you can retire. And then you can have a house on the beach and then retire, nicely live afterwards. And the man looked at him and said, I right now have a house right on the beach I'm living. And I'm spending time with my family happily. And also I'm spending time with my friends in the evening, but I only work a few hours. What all you have promised me to all of that in a different way, much more easier way, I'm experiencing right now. See that? That's the moral of the story. But anyhow, seeing people beyond our borders. I believe it is a call to the rest of humanity. If you think the word call bothers you, like I'm called to be a missionary, I say a responsibility to the rest of humanity. Well, I have a few simple points to talk about this, and then we'll ask for Q&A, and I'll be quick. Number one, the principle of the Bible is to whom much is given, much is required. It's a principle. It's a biblical principle. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus started talking about a parable. There was a rich man, gave everything he had to a servant. Said, one day I'll come back. Make sure you give an account to me. And the story tells, when the master returns, if he finds the servant unfaithful, what will he do? Take him away. Remove him from the job. Does not probably make much sense when we read that, but it is exactly, it's talking about you and me. To whom much is given, much is required. In other words, the master is God himself. And we are his servants. And we are accountable to him to whatever is given. Well, let's ask ourselves, what do we have to give? A lot of us say, what do I have to give? Man, I'm making just my ends meet right here in the university. I don't have too much. I struggle to pay my tuition, I don't have this, I don't have that, and we always compare ourselves with other people and say, man, I don't have all those things. The question is, it is not what you do not have. Every man always complains, every man and woman always complains of what we do not have because we compare ourselves with others. That's the basic problem of human life. It's not what we do not have, but think about what you got and what the rest of the world do not have it. Majority of the world do not have what you and I have it. Is that true? You say in the United States, people live in poverty. They get government help, whatever, $1,000, $1,200. Well, in a lot of countries, that's a rich life. You say, well, I don't have a nice car, Range Rover. I have a simple car. I drive. Fine. Majority of the people in the world don't have cars. Cars are luxury. You see that? It depends on not what you have. It depends on how you view your life, what you have with your mind in comparison with the others. It's not a minority, but you have to see yourself in the bigger face of the ocean of people that are there in different continents. So what do we have? Maybe a simple question for you and me is, what do you have? To whom much is given, much is required. What do I have? What do you have? Knowledge, finances, talents. Do you have knowledge? Well, that's true. America has a lot of universities, yes? A lot of education. The whole world comes to the United States to study, yes? That's true. Whole world comes here. Why? Because this has become the center for education in the world right now. In the world right now. So obviously, there's a lot of knowledge. Talk about money, finances. Man, you got a lot of money in the United States. That's true. You say we have recession hit. But talk about other side of it. I did not make any research. But this is what it is. Everybody in the world has to buy oil only in dollars. You know that?
Why your dollar is stronger? Because the treaty is made long back, even for a long time in the years to come. Everybody in the world, every country has to buy oil only in terms of dollars. That means everybody that purchases oil, you make money. You know that? You got money. Well, you say, United States, Obama borrowed a lot of money, we got a lot of debt. That is true, probably. But you know how much gold you have in your treasury? You don't know. Google up. Check how much gold they have in D.C. It's unbelievable. You're not going to be bankrupt. You bankrupt. Every country is bankrupt right now. That's true. A lot of things will not come out, but it's true. There is knowledge. There is money, finances, a lot of talents, a lot of skills as a result of all the resources that are available. Let me talk about gifts. We all have a lot of gifts. As a result of it, the Bible talks about spiritual gifts too. Teaching, serving, encouraging, leading, generosity, mercy, and many more. Now you tell me, do you have something that the rest of the world do not have it? Yes. My son-in-law came here to study his master's degree and got a job. My daughter came here, studied, got a job. Well, the whole world comes, studies here. There is opportunities. There is wisdom. There are opportunities. And as a result, you send out all that, whatever you guys do, your food or whatever it is, your airplanes, whatever it is, you guys send out to the rest of the world. And there is wealth here. To whom much is given, much is required. And that's what you and I are falling into. And we do have something more than a normal person in a different continent or a different world we have. So what to do now with what we have? We already said, well, we do have something better than the rest of the world, the rest of the countries have. So what to do with what we have? Well, there is a job to do. To whom much is given, much is required. What is that? We have a job to do. That is to share what we have. Make sure to get involved in. To get involved in. Just now, Tom was telling Jesus Fellowship is involved in Philippines, in India, and different countries, especially in Philippines. They're doing a work with the poor people. If they're not involved in, I was getting some information this morning, although I knew, if they are not serving there, for those particular students coming from the poor families, they will have to go to government school there, which are pitiful because teachers don't come, which means you don't get education. They're robbed out of education. The opportunity was not given. Small church from Miramani has gone out there and started this work and changing a few lives of the people because they know the value and they know the price Jesus put it. To whom much is given, much is required. They don't need to, but it is. And I know a lot of people from the church had gone there to Philippines. And I talked to several of them and they're happy. They're always excited about, I went to Philippines. I did this. I stayed that much time. We went this way, but we lost. It's all. So we talk about it. It's not much the 10 months you live here, but you think about the 2 months or 4 weeks that you live there because you know that you're investing in something to whom much is required, much to whom much is given, much is required. That's what you remember because that's what you see your fulfillment is in life. That's what you see the purpose is. What we have, what to do with what we have. We have a job to do. Make sure you invest it. Let me make one more step in this. Attitudes are more important, by the way, in doing it. Tom also mentioned about this. It's not that I can fix all the problems. Well, let me tell you, you can't fix any problem. You can't fix yourself. You have probably pretty different problems than the rest of the world doesn't have. Their problems are different. Your problems are different. But there is a mentality here that says, man, I'm an American. I can fix all things. Why? Because I know more. Why? Because I have the knowledge. Why? Because we have the finances. It is true. You're telling on one way, you have it. There's a call to do. But don't go with the wrong attitude, with the prideful attitude. God will never use a prideful person. He always uses humble person. Jesus came to the earth. He humbled himself, came in the form of a man. That must tell something. Came in the form of man. Paul, the theologian, put it very well in Philippians chapter 2. He came in the form of a man. He lived as a man. And then he went and served as a servant. He died, not an ordinary death, but he took the cross and he died. As if there is no other way to die. He humbled himself. Humility works. The more you have it, God must humble your heart and my heart, because we have something the others don't have, so that it will help us to serve in humility, so that the lives are changed. To whom much is given, much is required. There's something special given to you. Make sure to invest it. Make sure to invest it. And that's going to change everything. Unselfishly give it, not with a different motto. Being good stewards, not with pride and not with arrogance. Let me move on to the second thing. To whom much is given, much is required, number one. Number two, the world needs to be a better place. We all agree that, yes? We made a mess in the world. Every year, every century, is more mess. Is the world getting better or worse? We talk about a lot of social media, man, everything. I can pick up my phone when I was a student here back, way back. I used to call India, pay $8 for a minute. Now I can talk all I want to for $9 to my wife. From now until the next month, this time, every day, 24 hours, I can talk to for $9. The world had changed socially. But we got bigger problems too. World needs to be a better place. God created a beautiful world. Everything was good. But something happened. Sin entered, imagine, made the world. It's not getting any better. Look at the world around your situation. You probably have a lot of privileges and a lot of opportunities. Others right in this town do not have it. And you look at the world, and many people outside of the United States do not have these opportunities. Do you see that as a need? Do you think you can do something about it? Or you close your eyes and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. This is not my job to do it. That means we are selfish, focused on self, on selfishness. I will come to that point again. There's a lot of poverty. You don't know what poverty is. A lot of Americans don't know what poverty is. Somebody that gets about $1,200, $1,500 a month is poor. Now you got that much money in some of the countries, you're a rich person. In Philippines, yes? Somebody has $1,000? Is it rich? It is rich. You don't know what poverty is. Do you know drinking water is going to be a problem in the world? People are going to fight for it. There's going to be a shortage. 35% of the present drinking water is going to be gone. We're going to have wars for drinking water in the days to come. You know that? There are going to be major wars because of drinking water. Do you know some of the factories, even right here, in all, that's what the statistics say, will not function as a result of it, as the way they function now, because of water scarcity. You don't see that now, but there are some places, yes, they do see that. There are some problems now, and the problems are getting more and more. People are very different in each and every place, but respect others and be generous. Let me talk to you from probably you know better than me, because Chuck Finney, many of you know, the one who started DFS, duty-free shopping, in 1960s. Majority of the people are famous about it, duty-free shopping. His foundation, the Atlantic Philanthropies, have funneled $6.2 million into education, science, healthcare, aging, and civil rights in the U.S., Australia, Vietnam, and Bermuda, and South Africa, and Ireland. Can you believe that? $6.2 billion. He made money, but he gave already $6.2 million. The remaining $1.3 billion that he still has will be spent by 2016. All the money that he made will be gone. And the foundation will be shut down by 2020. And that's a cool story. He made a lot of money, but he spent it all on some work. Do you know that he was the inspiration of many of the givers right now, more than 100 givers, including Bill Gates and Warren Buffett? He was the inspiration. They all had one dream: the world should be a better place. The world should be a better place. Where does the principle come from? That's how God created the world to be a better place. People caring for each other, because in God's eyes, we are all one family. There is diversity, and praise God, that's the way God created it. And Finney said, I had one idea that never changed in my mind, that you should use your wealth to help people. I try to live a normal life the way I grew up. Finney says, I set out to work hard, not to get rich. Do you know what would be the problem of the world in the coming years? There will be a lot of other problems. If people do not step up, what will happen? If this man has not given the money, of course we don't need to give all, but he gave, because he saw the world with the different eyes. He thought himself, I grew up with little money, I will be the same person as always, but I want to help my fellow beings in the world, beginning with this country. And he did. And he became an example to a lot of people. The world should be a better place because of me and because of you. The world should not suffer because of me and you. To whom much is given, much is required. Why? Because we contribute to the world. God wants to see the world to be a better place. Number three, finding life by giving it away. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 onwards. Finding life by giving it away. He who loses his life for my sake, he'll find it. He who saves his life will lose it. Man, he reversed the system. What we think and what Jesus thought is totally different, but it's a true principle. He who loses his life will find it, not only here on the earth, but for eternity. Find it. But he who wants to save his life, in reality, will lose it. He won't achieve anything, not only in this world, but the world to come. Change takes place when we give ourselves to people and their betterments. Bible calls it as a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice we have to make. Anything that we do out of our own comfort zone, it's a sacrifice. When you make sacrifices, you feel happy because somebody is affected in a positive manner. Jesus came down to the earth all the way from heaven, and he sacrificed himself. That is the highest form of sacrifice. Just to make our lives better, he gave himself. He gave himself for us so that our lives could be better. He was rich, but he became poor so that our poverty might be gone and we become rich. What do you think if the Albanian-born Agnes remained there in Albania, never moved out of the country when she was 19 years old? You know whom I'm talking about, yes? What if she, after she came to Calcutta to work as a teacher in a convent, after serving there for 17 years as a convent teacher, what if she has not left the convent and told those people, I have a special calling to do to the poor people in Calcutta? Her mother used to say, when her father died, when Agnes' father died, when she was a little child, she always called some poor person from the street in Albania and shared their food with them. Always there was somebody at their table. This Agnes went out to the streets of Calcutta, found the worst poverty people, poor people, whom we don't want to even touch or look, people with leprosy, people that are not properly clothed, all these people. She could not have become Mother Teresa if she has not given her life in order to find it. By giving many lives, hundreds and thousands of lives, have become totally, totally changed. She received the Nobel Prize twice, but that's not the real story. She made the world much better by making the people better, which is done by her sacrifice in giving her life to these people. These people. Finding life by giving it away. We don't need to be like Mother Teresa. Our calling is different to each of us. Each of us, it's different. I don't know about your call. You got to find out yourself. You may ask, how do I find out? How do you look for it? How do you find out about a job after your education? You put effort into it and find it. This has to be found in the similar fashion. You put some time into it, put some interest into it, work hard, you find it. Gaining life by giving it away. We think so much otherwise, but Jesus said it cool, nicely. Number four, why should I give away my stuff? Why should I lose my life? Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 10:8, these are biblical principles and principles that are practiced by the corporate world, by the way. Jesus said, freely give, because you have received freely. My life is a free gift from God. Did you ever saw yourself? What is your life? Your life is a gift from God. Your life is a gift from God. You're here because of God's grace. What do you do with your life? That's yours. Now, we all know about 9/11, yes? When I was coming from India to here, I booked my ticket to travel on the 11th of September. My son looked at, Dad, you always travel on September 11th. 2 years back, you did it. You've got to change the date. I said, no, there's going to be more protection for September 11th, so don't worry about it. There are more vacant seats too, by the way. The price is cheaper. Oh boy. September 11th. I need to talk about this. There was a man by name, I'm sure you might have read about him. His name is Cyril Richard. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Some of you guys have hard names. You think my name is hard. Some of you can't even pronounce my name. Chigaluri is my last name. Yeah, fits about it. Rezarola is his last name, but I call him Rick. Okay. He was a retired United States Army officer of British birth who served with distinction in NRP and as a soldier in the Vietnam War, where he was a second lieutenant in the United States Army. That's about Rick. At 8:46 a.m. on the morning of September 11, 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 struck World Trade Center Tower 1. Rick heard the explosion and saw the tower burning from his office window. When a Port Authority announcement came over the PA system urging people to stay at their desks, Rick ignored the announcement, grabbed his bullhorn, walkie-talkie on the cell phone, and began systematically ordering Morgan Stanley employees to evacuate, including the 1,000 employees in WTC 5. He directed people down a stairwell from the 44th floor, continuing the calm employee after building rushed violently following the crash of the second plane 38 floors above. Morgan Stanley Executive Bill McMahon stated that even a group of 250 people visiting the office for a stockbroking training class knew what to do because they had been shown the nearest stairway. Rick had boosted morale among his men in Vietnam by singing songs from his youth, and now he did the same in the stairwell, singing songs like one based on Well Song. You know, you guys know that. Between songs, Rick called his wife, telling her, "Stop crying. I have to get these people out safely. If something should happen to me, I want you to know I have never been happier than this day. You made my life." Hang the phone. Started working. After successfully evacuating most of Morgan Stanley's 2,687 people, employees, he went back into the building. When one of his colleagues told him he too had to evacuate, Rick replied, "As soon as I make sure everyone else is out." He was last seen on the 10th floor heading upward shortly before the tower collapsed, and his remains were never found. Freely given. Freely given. Man, one man, how many lives he had saved? How many lives? Almost 3,000 lives. If he had not ignored, he was a retired man, if he was sitting there, ever followed the announcement, he knew something was wrong because he served in the army. He knew what was happening. He knew what he had to do. He took up a mic and went, hand mic, and went, yelling at people, "Don't follow the announcement, come down." They all came down. How many thousands would have been killed if he did not do that job? Give freely because you give it freely. The life that I have in Christ is a rich life. I found an abundant life because of Christ. Life in abundance. My job is to give freely. Because that's where I find happiness. That's where I found the life of many people. The lives, the real lives of many people. Finally, why should I give? Why should I sacrifice? Why should I lose? Why should I make the world better? because God is the giver of all good things. That's what James said in chapter 1, verse 17. God is the giver of all good things. I gave him bad, but God gave me good. Is it not true? It's a reality. You may realize God, you may not realize God. That's not the question. But God realizes who you are and who am I. He realized me even before I became a Christian. It didn't matter to him. He saw me as a person created in the image of God. God gave me and you all good. He's the giver of all good things. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I like this verse. God does not change like shifting shadows. I change, we change. God always gives good things to us, even though we change, because it is God who never changes. That's a good thing about God. You are a gift of God. And your life is a gift of God. What you do with your life and how you play with your life is your choice. God is not deciding that. How you want to play with your life is yours. God has given you freedom. God has given you choice because he made you as a thinking, a rational person, and the choice is yours. It's not going to compel you. Do you want to make the world better? Do you want to find life? How do you want to play with your life? Totally yours. You make your decision. I have no more to say. I'm ending right now. Choice is yours. God bless all of you. Stop, all of you as students here, and I wish all the best for all of you. Thank you.